actually is hopefully going to be very powerful. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts. And we're going to read a few verses from there. I love the book of Acts because it speaks about the history of the early church. But I'm also more excited about what God is doing in the church today. Because God is doing some amazing things. And we want to be a church on a mission, like they said this morning. Not a church that just exists for themselves, but a church who is committed to taking the message beyond these walls. To Gnubi, to Africa, and to the ends of the earth. And so, let's pick it up in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me." For John truly baptized with water. What does the word baptize mean? It means to immerse in. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Just want to challenge you this morning, guys. If you had 60 seconds left to live beginning now, what would you use those 60 seconds to say? Now, some of you are looking very worried. I said, imagine. It's not really prophetic. I'm saying, if you had 60 seconds left on the planet, how would you use those 60 seconds? What would you say? Surely you wouldn't say something insignificant or unimportant. You'd use those last 60 seconds on the planet to find someone you loved, someone special to you, and you'd use them wisely to speak words of significance. Now, you can imagine Jesus. He spent 33 years on the planet, 3 years of public ministry. He knows that imminently he's going to begin to lift off the ground and return to heaven. He's got 60 seconds left to say something. The question is, what did he say? Because the last words of Jesus Christ on this planet must be important. He could have said anything. But this is what he said. His last words on this planet were this: "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." He spoke the words, he lifted off the ground, and he vanished to heaven. And those were his last recorded words on this planet. Now, there was a Swedish chemist, a pharmacist, who many years ago was working in his pharmacy and doing experiments and all kinds of things, and he discovered a very powerful substance. He didn't quite know what to call it. It hadn't been invented yet, and so he called a friend of his who was a Greek scholar, and he asked him, "What is the Greek word for power? Because this substance I've invented seems to be very powerful." And so his friend, who was a Greek scholar, said, "Well, the Greek word for what you're trying to describe power is the word dynamis." And so, of course, we get the English word dynamite from that root word. And now, if someone were to take a stick of dynamite and detonate it somewhere in Gnubi, would we know about it? We would hear it. We'd see the evidence of it. There'd be no doubt in our minds that dynamite has exploded in Gnubi. And so Jesus links this crucial word, dynamis or dynamite, with the Holy Spirit. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when you get baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. Supernatural power, God-given power to enable you to live a life you could never otherwise have lived, and to enable you to be a witness for the kingdom of God and to impact the world around you. Interesting. The word witness in the original language is the Greek word martyrus. And I think all of us can see we get the English word martyr from that word. What is a martyr? A martyr is someone who gives his life for something. A martyr is someone who believes in a cause strongly enough to lay down their life for their cause. And so what Jesus Christ is saying is, as you go out and serve me in the power of the Holy Spirit, there will be a cost involved. This won't come cheap. It'll cost you nothing to sing a few songs and hear a few sermons on a Sunday. But to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit in the real world, where real people are facing real issues, that may well cost you everything, Jesus says. What I love about Jesus is that he modeled this kind of spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life. In fact, you'll discover, guys, if you do the research for yourselves, that every single thing Jesus said and every single thing Jesus did was done under the power of the Holy Spirit. And his commitment to the will of God, as we know, ended up in him being a martyr. He gave his life for the cause. It cost him everything. But the whole of the life of Jesus Christ from beginning to end was dominated and controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're told that Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. At the baptism of Jesus, the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus in the form of a dove. We're told by Luke that Jesus was led, constantly led by the Holy Spirit. On many occasions we read that Jesus came to a certain place in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when he got there, he taught, he healed, he delivered, he raised the dead, he set people free. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And folk, what Jesus showed us is there's a great difference between activity and Holy Spirit-driven ministry. I've been in churches for the last 20 odd years, 30 years of my life. I've seen lots of activity in churches. People are busy doing all kinds of things, but no one's life gets changed through activity. What changes lives is Holy Spirit-driven, anointed ministry that's backed by the power of God. This is what changes lives. In fact, the Bible says it's the Spirit of God that breaks yokes and destroys bondages and sets people free. If you got your Bible, just flip back to Luke chapter 4, bearing in mind the same author that wrote Acts also wrote Luke. So Luke's a sequel to Acts. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus speaks some powerful words about himself. He's reading the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, but they're prophetic words written 700 years before about him. So when Jesus reads these words, he's actually reading about himself. And he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Straight away we see that Jesus is going to say that whatever I do here on from now is done under the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because he, the Spirit of God, has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now, you might say, well, Mark, I'm not poor. I've got money in the bank. Well, you can be materially rich, my friend, but you can be spiritually bankrupt. And that's why Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet to forfeit his soul? So Jesus came to preach good news under the power of the Holy Spirit to those who are physically poor, yes, but more importantly, to those who are spiritually bankrupt. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Believe me, there were brokenhearted people in the days of Jesus. There are brokenhearted people in the world today. Just on Friday, before I flew to Johannesburg, I went to the hospital to spend time with a family. Both this lady's children, little ones, tiny ones, are in the Beacon Bay Life Hospital in a terrible condition. Mom's been there since Thursday, watching over them, looking after them. What does Dad decide to do? He decides that Friday would be a good day to leave the family and do his own thing. Leaves his two children in the hospital, his wife looking after them, and says, I'm going to the pub to go and live life my way. What does he leave behind? A broken-hearted wife and broken-hearted children. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit has anointed me to bind up those kind of people and to give them hope. To preach deliverance or freedom to the captives. There are many today folk who are physically free. You're not living behind a physical prison door, but you're a prisoner of fear. You're a prisoner of worry, anxiety, addiction. I've come to give recovery of sight to the blind. Physically, you can see fine. Maybe you don't even wear glasses, but spiritually, you're blind. The Bible says the God of this age has blinded you, so you can't see things you should be seeing. But through the Spirit of God, that veil can be taken away from your eyes, and you can begin to see things about life, about Jesus, about God, about the Bible you never saw before. And so Jesus goes on. All these things and more, Jesus did how? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. If I had more time, I could share with you that Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Some of you need some joy this morning. The Bible says Jesus suffered by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes God delivers you from a difficult situation. Sometimes by the power of the Holy Spirit, He gives you the strength to endure a season of hardship. Jesus, the Bible said, was even raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Folks, some of us have a big picture of God the Father, and so we should. Some of us have a big picture of Jesus, and so we should. But the challenge today is that we have a big picture also of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the presence and the power of God. And He's given to us not to make us better people, or to help us to achieve our little goals in life. But the Holy Spirit has been given to empower us as ordinary people to join God on a mission to rescue and to save people living on this planet. And when you understand this, friends, it brings a whole new dimension to everyday living. Suddenly, primarily, you see your goal in life as the kingdom of God expanding, the kingdom of God developing, the reign of Jesus Christ coming on the earth as in heaven. That's your goal. That's your mission. God, as I work tomorrow, as I raise my children, as I play my sport, God, my goal is beyond myself. My goal is to see people I work with, live with, and play with, to see the kingdom of God, the reign of Jesus Christ, take root in their life. And all that flows with that become their inheritance. And all this is done, not by might, the Bible says, not by human endeavor, but it's achieved by the Spirit of the living God working in you and through you. Last week during our week of prayer and fasting, God showed me many things, but the one thing He said very clearly, and I shared this on Sunday night, that I want to be an agent of change in my nation. So when I pray, God, change the nation, when I pray, God, change the world, what I'm primarily praying now is, God, change me. Lord, I can become a complainer, a whiner, or I can become a prayer and a contributor, living my life under the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking prophetic words, loving, helping, serving, being there for people. I choose to be a man controlled by the Holy Spirit rather than be an agent of fear and worry upon this planet. Well, in verse 4, the story heats up. So if you've been sleeping up to this point in time, this would be a great time to wake up. Because in verse 4 of Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells a group of 120 people to wait. In fact, the old King James uses a wonderful word called tarry. Tarry, wait. He says, wait and pray, wait and pray. And so they wait and they pray. They wait and they pray. They wait and they pray for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. 4 days, they just wait and they pray until suddenly, after praying for 10 days, on the 11th day, something outrageous happens. And let's read it together in chapter 2. Now, when the day of Pentecost, that was last Sunday, by the way, for those who don't know, had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So there was unity amongst them, wasn't there? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now Luke uses two words, interesting words, to describe this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice them? The first one he uses is the word wind. He says it came as a mighty rushing wind. And we know all about wind in Ganubi, but just not today. For the purpose of my sermon, God says, I'll make it calm. Thank you, Lord. But we do know about wind in Ganubi. It can blow from the east, it can blow from the west. And often the image is given of a sailing boat. A sailing boat can have all the potential in the world, but until the wind blows through those sails, that boat is going nowhere in a hurry. And folk, it's the same with us. Without the wind, without the energy, without the power of the Holy Spirit driving your life, you will never fulfill the purpose of God for your life. We need the wind of God's Spirit to drive this church, to drive our lives, to drive our marriages, to drive our families. The second word that I love that Luke uses is the word fire to describe the Holy Spirit. We all love a good fire, don't we? I mean, we go to Hog's Back for a week in July, every July after Holiday Club, and the first thing we do is collect logs and some wood, and we build a rip-roaring fire. And that's what we love to do, because fire brings warmth and comfort and encouragement. In a dark place, it gives you some perspective. It also burns away unnecessary things. A fire removes things you don't want. And folk, I want to say, in a dark, chaotic world, the presence of the Holy Spirit provides you with encouragement, with perspective, with courage, and it sets you on fire to serve the purposes of God. This is what the Holy Spirit does. One of my favorite preachers from days gone by is a guy called D.L. Moody. Some of you may have read his books. But D.L. Moody was a powerful, anointed preacher, and he used to pack out venues with thousands of people who would come and listen to him preach. And one particular man just came over and over and over to listen to D.L. Moody preach, and he was a sworn atheist. Atheists don't believe in God, but he wouldn't miss Moody's meetings. And eventually his friend said to him, excuse me, you don't believe in God. You don't believe in what Moody's preaching about. Why do you come and listen to him preach if you don't believe? And so the atheist said, well, I don't believe. You're right. But Moody does. He's on fire, and I've come to watch him burn. My friend, I want to encourage you. As your life been set on fire by the Holy Spirit? Are you on fire for God? Or are you just going through the motions of life and religion, hoping for another day? The Holy Spirit comes to drive you with the wind of His presence, to energize your life. And He also comes to set you on fire for the things of God and for the mission of God. So these early believers, these 120 people, begin as the Holy Spirit comes upon them to speak in tongues, to speak in other languages, languages they've never heard of before. And I was really hoping the same would happen to me when I arrived in Turkey many years ago. I was hoping that as I stepped off the plane, God would give me Turkish, like happened here. And in fact, my mom even prayed for it. She prayed, God, give Mark this gift. And I got it for pay, and I tried, and out came Afrikaans, so it didn't work. I gave up on that one. But these guys begin to speak in languages under the Holy Spirit that they've never learned before. And we all know that these were Galileans. These were ordinary, not very well educated people. I'm not looking Lenny's way. They were subsistence farmers, they were fishermen, and all of a sudden these uneducated people are speaking in languages they've never learnt before. And the question is, why? There's always a purpose behind what God does. Why? Well, let's read on. It becomes even better. Verse 5, Now they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Then how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome and both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." This is incredible. And so it just so happened that on this particular day, it just so happened, in inverted commas, in God's agenda, there's no such thing as it just so happened. It just so happened that an international gathering was taking place in Jerusalem on this day. And people had come there from all over the world. If I had a modern map here, I'd show you there were countries like Iran, Turkey, North African countries, Rome, Saudi Arabia, Syria, to name but a few. They'd come from all over the world to this city on this day, and all of a sudden these foreigners begin to hear these ordinary, uneducated Galileans speaking in languages they recognized as their own. And they weren't just speaking nonsense. Verse 10 says, or verse 11 says, they were speaking about the wonderful works of God. This is incredible. This is showing you God's incredible heart for people. He gathers the nations to Jerusalem, all over the world. He pours out His Spirit upon those who love and follow Him. They speak in tongues, they speak in languages they've never learned before, supernatural. And they speak about the wondrous works of God in ways that all these different people groups could hear and understand. Supernatural. God's heart has always been about people, my friends. God loves people. God loves all people. Jesus died for people. Jesus died for all people. And your prayer should be, "God, I need the power of your Holy Spirit to enable me to love people that need to be loved, to serve people that need to be served, to help people that need to be helped, even if it costs me everything. I don't want to waste my life chasing the wind. I want to be fueled by the Holy Spirit, your wind flowing through my sails, your fire burning in my heart. On mission for God, on mission for the kingdom of God and for the glory of Jesus." Well, that was 2,000 years ago. This event happened. 120 people has in 2016 become over 2 billion people. As we gather here this morning in Ganubi, all around the world, over 2 billion people from different tribes, nations, languages, people groups, over 2 billion are lifting their hands in worship to Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why? Because ordinary people, filled with the Holy Spirit, have gone into schools, universities, businesses, and to the ends of the earth on mission for God, fueled by the wind and the fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm done. I've abbreviated what I wanted to share, but I want to just give you 3 takeaway thoughts. You can scribble them down, you can memorize them and think through them, but just 3 things to keep in mind as you leave this morning. First, is your life being led and controlled by the Holy Spirit? Is his wind blowing through your sails? Is his fire burning in your heart? Or are you still trying to live life and do things your way, in your strength? What about number two? Are you on your own mission in life? Living according to your own agenda? Or have you made a decision to join the mission of God? To see His kingdom come. His will be done on this earth through your life as it is in heaven. To be a witness, to be a martyr for the cause of Christ. And how about number three? Maybe pray that God would give you an increased capacity for people. Remember, the kingdom of God is all about people. God, give me an increased capacity to see people through the eyes of Jesus, to serve people with the heart of Jesus, to be the hands and feet, the mouthpiece of Christ, and to love my life, not even unto death. Only one life, my friends, and it's soon past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let us pray. Father, thank you for an opportunity this morning again to be in your presence. Lord, we thank you for the joy of worshiping you in song. And we really connected with your Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you for the challenge from the Logos Hope team to lift up our eyes and to see those who are still living with chains and living in bondage. Lord, they need freedom. Or are we going to be too busy living our own lives and following our own agendas to even notice them? Or are we going to be those people that are fueled by the Holy Spirit, set on fire by the Spirit of God, willing to serve as martyrs if that need be the case, but to go into all the world to love and serve and help and direct men and women, boys and girls to the foot of the cross, to a place of grace and forgiveness and hope and new beginnings. A life fueled and set on fire by the Spirit of the living God. Help us to be those people, we pray, Father. Help us to be that church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.